We start today's program with the news from earlier this week that the Fiesta Bowl had found its full-time successor to former executive director Robert Shelton, who resigned in January. The Fiesta Bowl is just one of the things reporter Craig Harris covers for the Arizona Republic, and he joins me now. Craig, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good to have you. So who is new executive director Mike Neely? What do we need to know about his background and what he brings to the table?
Well, he was with the Coyotes. He was their president and chief operating officer, and he has quite a background in the National Hockey League. And he was, you know, pretty successful with the Coyotes during a time when, you know, they didn't have an owner. And so he comes in to the Fiesta Bowl with a pretty good background here and knows the Valley pretty well and seems like a really good guy.
What does this tell you about the direction the Fiesta Bowl is going? And are there similarities, differences you can tell us between what we expect from Neely and what they were getting from Robert Shelton?
Well, there's a huge difference now, because what Shelton did is he kind of came in during a time when there was a huge scandal during the John Junker era, where, you know, he was ousted for lavish spending and subsequently convicted for a campaign finance scheme. And he's actually going to be going to prison next month. So, you know, Dr. Shelton came in from the University of Arizona, kind of stabilized things, got the bowl into the new college football playoff, which was going to be for the next 12 years. And the bowl decided they wanted to go in yet another direction, and they parted ways with Dr. Shelton back earlier this year, and now have hired Mike Neely.
Craig, I know we don't know much about Mike yet, I guess, even though he has been with the Coyotes, as you mentioned, but does he seem like someone who's more comfortable in those sort of glad-handing situations than Robert Shelton was?
You know, I don't know Mike all that well either. You know, as far as being a CEO of a local team, he wasn't as outspoken or as more of a face of a franchise as say, like a Derek Hall is with the Diamondbacks, where almost everyone in town knows Derek and all the activities he's been in. But I think by talking to Mike, he does have a pretty good grasp of what needs to happen at the Bowl. And one of the biggest things they have to do is they've just got to sell more tickets. One of the biggest changes under this new system in college football, from the old Bowl Championship Series to this new college football playoff, is teams playing in the Fiesta Bowl will be required to buy about 5,000 tickets less than before. So instead of having a guarantee that each team would buy 17,500 tickets, each team only has to buy 12,500. So that means the Fiesta Bowl's got to sell 10,000 more tickets. That's a lot, especially when tickets are, you know, $150 to $300 a ticket. I mean, that's a big thing he's going to have to go out and sell to this community.
And how hard is that going to be when the Fiesta Bowl, in the years when it's not hosting the actual championship game? Because people don't really know what this playoff system is quite yet, right?
Well, yeah, but I think under this new system, they will actually get better matchups than in some years when you've had Connecticut here, which has been kind of a bust. The theory or hope with this new college playoff system is that you're going to get better games for these six elite bowls, which include the Fiesta Bowl. So you may not have an automatic tie-in with the Big 12, which they had for a lot of years, but you're probably going to get two really good kind of West Coast or Western Mountain West teams playing here that should draw a lot of fans. And so theoretically, you should be able to sell those tickets a little bit easier than in the past when you had, you know, a team from the East that had no drawing power here at all.
And Craig, you mentioned the ticket sales, so I wonder, what does this mean overall as far as the playoff system is concerned as well about the actual money the Fiesta Bowl can clear? Is this going to be a concern for the Bowl or no?
Well, it is a huge concern for the Bowl, because in the past, when the Fiesta Bowl hosted the national championship game, that was just a huge financial bonanza for the Bowl, where all the money that came in was kept by the Bowl. Under the new system, the college football playoff, which is run by essentially the big five power conferences, they keep all the money. And they realize that their game is so big now that communities are bidding on that game. So now, instead of keeping all the money, the Fiesta Bowl has to spend money to get that championship game when it's going to come here in January of 2016. So, you know, the Fiesta Bowl has, like a lot of other big bowls, is under a whole new different financial game. And, you know, the Fiesta Bowl also has done some pretty significant layoffs this year, as they've kind of shrunk their staff in preparing for this kind of new era for college football.
That's where I wanted to close with you, Craig. Follow up a little bit more on that, because when we hear about a new executive director, there's the feeling the game is on more solid ground than it had been. And yet when you hear about layoffs, in what departments were those folks laid off?
Well, they laid off from their, they weren't clear exactly, but from what I understand, they've released from their public relations side. A few other folks have been there for quite a while. I mean, they just tried to shrink their staff to put their staff in more in line of the staff that's at the Rose Bowl or the Sugar Bowl. The difference is those, the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, don't also handle a sister game, the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. So, you know, there was a time that the Fiesta Bowl was considered pretty heavy, heaviest for their staff, and they traditionally had paid their executives some of the highest salaries in college football for bowl games. So that has changed. They've reined in kind of their upper echelon salaries. Part of that, too, is they've got to finish paying off Dr. Shelton for, I think, the year and a half, 2 years he had left his contract. Okay. So, you know, they've got some expenses they have to pay out as they're kind of going to this new model. Now, they're not broke. I mean, their most recent tax returns showed they had $26 million in net assets. But for the fiscal year that ended in 2012-13, they lost $1.3 million. So no business can keep incurring financial losses despite how much you have in the bank.
Craig Harris of the Arizona Republic. Craig, thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Thank you so much.